This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord, tonight, you know, as we listen to the word, as we go into the word, Lord, please open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my understanding. Cause us to call forth all the graces that the Lord will be releasing through the word. Father, we thank you. We thank you for tonight. Thank you, Jesus, because we know that you are with us. And we know that there's power that is present to heal. We thank you, Jesus, because tonight so much is laid up for us. And tonight is not an ordinary service. And thank you, Jesus, because we will not go away ordinary. Thank you, Jesus, because, Lord, we are going to touch the hem of your garment by reason of all the ministrations. And we know, Jesus, that virtue will flow out from you. We trust you, Jesus, that all of us will be made whole tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And by God's grace, we are still going to be continuing in the way of the RSM Flex 2025, My Experience. Amen. Tonight, we are going to be reviewing day 3 morning session. 2 ministers of the gospel blessed us that morning. That is Reverend Bingpe Olabode and Reverend Busui Olabode. Okay, so I'm going to call up, you know, I'm one of the sons in the house. With Jesus joy in our hearts, let's welcome the ministry of Pastor Timilein Uibe. Amen. God bless you, sir. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, church. So, I think that morning, Reverend Bingpe started ministration, and that was a basis for Reverend Busui to push upon. And, of course, the theme was the witnesses men wondered at. And Reverend Busui started on the basis of the beginning of the matter, right? Genesis 1, God created man to bear his image and his likeness. And he was saying that why God even made the earth in the first place is to witness to something invisible, something that is not seen. And to be a witness is to have access to something that not everybody saw. Why they will call you a witness is that not everybody saw it, but you had the privilege of seeing that thing, right? And that was why God made man. Because the truth is that angels don't see God. Meaning angels can't witness God. They can't witness the life of God. They can't witness who God stands for. And that's why God made man. He said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So you see, what God wants to do is that when you say you have seen God, is that you can represent him. Reverend Busui said that to be a witness is that you can represent what he stands for. You can represent him in his person. You can stand in his place. And then there will be no feeling of he's not here or he's not there. And, you know, he beautifully captured this, that for God to make that an agenda upon the head, the Lord gave the man a seed. The Lord gave Adam a seed in the beginning. But we saw that, you know, Satan warred. Satan fought to ensure that seed, you know, to bring an end to that seed. And somewhere, somehow, he was able to track it through from Genesis to Revelation. And he gave man the seed. The seed got corrupted. Then God had to turn to the woman. Because what God has in himself, if God wants to make a witness out of you, what he will commit to your hand is to give you a seed. Then you should in turn bear fruit out of that seed, right? Because fruit is the evidence of what they have given to you. And that's why you have to look to the woman. By the time you check through scripture, one of the things you find about women is that they can keep. Because man, in quotes, was careless in the garden. The Lord had to turn to the woman who should keep a seed. And that seed should grow and become something that is evidence upon the head, right? So I just saw how a consistency in the scripture, how Satan war against seed and the remnant of the seed. You know, we saw it in Genesis that Satan came against the first seed. He came against Adam And the person that should have stood in his stead, Abel, Satan came against him and, you know, he silenced that seed. Then by the time you trace it down to Genesis 6, we saw a remnant of the sons of God. And at the end of the day, you see Satan still coming for those ones. At the end of the day, in Genesis chapter 6 verse 12, they said that the ways of God was corrupted, meaning that there was nobody that could access God again, aside Noah and his children and his generation. And interestingly, I used to think that, you know, by the time Luke and Matthew captured this scenario, they said that don't let it be as in the days of Noah, when men were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Somewhere, I don't know how my mind resolved it, that, you know, that issue of, you know, Satan coming for the seed was just a day event on their wedding ceremony, that was how Satan was able to get that generation. But no, what Satan did was that Satan instituted another arrangement on the earth. Satan will look for a legal way to perpetuate illegality. He will look for a lawful way to penetrate the seed and then introduce his own illegality. So we saw that these children, or the seed in Genesis 6, what he did to them was a very legal thing. He said he instituted marriage, not marriage ceremony. It's an institution that lasted maybe years upon the surface of the earth. But we saw that through that institution, Satan was pushing many things that were wrong, many things that should not be. And by the time you bring it to the present day church also, you will find out that the same thing. Satan is warring against the church, which is the woman that should carry the seed. He's legally bringing in things that should not be. In a church environment, when we want to ride on legalities, we'll find out that it's just a matter of time. Satan will corrupt the seed in us. Satan will take over that good thing that was committed to the church. What the church should be at the end of the day, we'll find out that we will not be able to replicate what the seed should do in us, because we have given a legal ground for Satan to find an inroad into the church. You know, and I saw again, when the first man, Adam, failed to keep the seed, the Lord had to look for another replica, another way to, you know, ensure that seed is given to the woman. And the Lord had to use that. Foreshadowing of that was the church in the wilderness. The church was also a seed in the wilderness. The Lord had to test run that arrangement, whether a woman can carry a seed, really, right? The same way we saw that woman in the wilderness is Revelation 12. And we saw another charge of Satan. He was going for the seed, and he was going for the remnant of the seed. By the time you see that arrangement also, you see what Satan used for them is legality. You see what Satan used for them is a little folding of hands. You see what Satan used against them is that, you know, they just want to have a little comfort. And they may have to go a whole lot to talk about the spirit of this age, which is what Satan used to fight every seed. He customized an arrangement for every age. And then before you know it, legally, we let down our guards. We allow Satan in. Then he perpetuates all manner of works. You see, in Jude 1:4, they had to warn the church that contend for the faith. He said that there were many things from verse 3 that crept in unawares. It did not creep in unawares because they closed their eyes. It didn't creep in unawares because they were sleeping in courts. It slipped in unaware because it was a legal ground. You know, that legal reason you have for doing many things that you do is Satan's way of affecting seed in the future. So eventually we saw in that church in the wilderness that God had to say that that was not the real seed. That was just a test run. Then in the New Testament, we now saw God wants to raise a seed. And that seed, we saw Satan coming after that seed over and over again. And by the time the church in the wilderness, we thought it was just they rose up to play, the way 1 Corinthians captured it. But by the time you check that arrangement in Revelation, we saw that it was a doctrine that Satan used. It's a legality. Doctrine is a legal way to find entrance into anybody. Once they can give you a doctrine, they can find an inroad into your midst. And I was just saying, when they say doctrine of Balaam, doctrine of Nicolaitan, doctrine of Jezebel, and there's a way we think it too far. There's a way we think it too far away from us. We saw in Revelation 3, he said that because thou sayest, I am rich, I'm increased with good, I have need of nothing, knowest thou that thou art wretched. So we're just seeing how Satan is always after the seed. And most times, it doesn't come in the way we think it is. You would think that it is when they probably close down all the churches, that's when Satan has victory over the church. No, we will be doing church over and over again, but we not know that Satan has crept in unawares. And how does that come? Is that in a legal ground. You know that arrangement process in a church that you fail to join yourself to, that you have a legal reason, I'm at work, I can't stream.
I'm doing this, I can't do that. You have a very good excuse for it. Those are the ground Satan coming to cripple a people. Because in Genesis 6, say that Satan will come for the heel of the seed. Meaning that Satan cannot come for the head because the head is Christ, right? But he will come for the heel. What he wants to first of all hamper is our journey, is our continuity in advancing, is our continuity in progressing. And that little excuse you have for not doing the right thing, for not following, for not obeying, for not following the leading and dealing of the Spirit is a legal ground for Satan to come for you. And for me personally, in conclusion, I just saw how really, one of the things that must happen to me is I must be discerning. I must have wisdom above my generation to know what is legally taking men, what is legally sweeping men away. You know, Reverend gave an example that everything is just for comfort nowadays. You want to buy dishwasher, you want to buy washing machine, you want to buy this, you want to for your comfort. But at the end of the day, you don't know that Satan is afflicting your body. At the end of the day, you would grow up old and your body can't do what it should normally do. So I'm just saying that as believers in these times, there is a need to be discerning of those legal grounds that Satan used to push his own lawlessness, to push his own agenda, to raise his own seed in me. God bless us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Timmy. And we are grateful to God for what you have shared with us tonight. Thank you so much. One of the things Pastor Timmy mentioned was certain things that are legal grounds in our generation. And I remember one of the things, it was even mentioned in the panel session, one of the major aims of technology and content is to make men weak in their minds. Men can't concentrate on one thing for a long time. That's the design, to give you so much variety that you can't stay on one thing for one time. And salvation is a conversation of one thing. So at the end of the day, it's really affecting that. Just adding to what Pastor Timmy said. So the Lord will help us be more discerning, you know, and know how to use, but not abuse, so that we don't step into the salient traps of the enemy. With Jesus' joy in our hearts, I want us to welcome a vessel that the Lord is going to use for us tonight. Let's welcome the ministry of Mommy Patience, Oyinloye.
Praise God. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, Daddy. Thank you for the opportunity to share my little experience. The ministration by Reverend Busi and Mommy Bimpe were together. When Reverend Busi started his ministration, I was just looking at how relentless Satan is. You know, Satan is not going to stop anytime soon. And we that Satan is fighting, we don't even know his strength. We don't even know how he's fighting us. We are lackadaisical. We are living our lives anyhow. Reverend Busi was saying something. He said that Satan has taken over the world and he's going to creep into the church if care is not taken. He said one of the ways is going to creep into the church is through the spirit of the age. And this spirit of the age, when you look at it, they are your perspective, the way you view life, the way you live life. It doesn't look that bad. In fact, you are comfortable with it. And one of the principles of this spirit of the age, he emphasized on lawlessness. You know, he said that Satan is a lawless being. He broke the law. He transgressed against the law and he became lawless. And from being lawless, he became an outlaw. And we all know that an outlaw is a fugitive. So being in that state of lawlessness, he wants also to come to that state of lawlessness. You know, when Reverend was x-raying the act of lawlessness, he was saying that one of the way lawlessness deals with us is that it brings us to that point whereby we lack strength to journey. You know, we come to that point whereby we don't even have strength to journey again. And he said that there is nothing wrong with education. Education is very good. But Satan came through education. And all of us embrace education. We see it as something that is very good. That is one of the wisdom that Satan has used. You know, if you look at education now, you say, there's nothing wrong in education. In fact, we can even discipline a child if a child comes home with a very bad result. There was a time that one of my children, you know, she wrote an exam and I was not pleased with the result. So the way I was doing, the way I was, you know, addressing the issue, My husband had to call me. He said, is this eternal life? He said, if it's even eternal life that you are even charging like this, I'll be very grateful. You know, he said, this thing will pass away. He said, instead, why not call the child? There is another wisdom you can use. If you can sit this child down and, you know, talk to this child about eternal life like this, that this child would have really changed. But the devil did not come that way. The devil brought it in such a way whereby we see that education is very key. Without education, you can't make it in life. But really, really, you can make it in life even without education. You know, this is not neglecting the fact that you shouldn't go to school, but that is one of the wisdom that Satan has put in place to weaken man. Reverend Busi also made mention of something. He said, the reason why sin does not even move the dragon, you know, when you sin, you do all works of the flesh, it doesn't move him. Because that Satan has transcended far beyond sin. Satan has come to that point whereby he's dealing with transgression and iniquity. And he was saying something about how transgression can be seen. So what Reverend Bruce was really saying is that we can sit here in church, we can do the whole church activities, you know, we can come to church every day. Daddy will say, come to church, 7 o'clock, you are there. But lawlessness is going on your inside. And the only way that God can take away lawlessness is through obedience. He says something, he says, Satan has morphed. He has morphed from the serpent to the dragon. So if Satan has morphed from serpent to dragon, you are still staying in Christ. How will you be able to defeat the dragon? You know, and a scenario came to my mind. I remember in chemistry, there's what they call excitation energy. Excitation energy is a point whereby an electron gains energy at its lowest state. When you gain energy at your lowest state, then you cannot excite to the next orbit. So for us to defeat the dragon, we need energy, you know, and that energy is what the Lord is bringing to us in form of Christ. And after you get that energy, you excite to another stage, which is that doctrine of the Father, you know, and it is in that state, we're able to come to that point where we are able to defeat the dragon. When I was listening to the message, a scenario came to play. One of the scenarios that came to play was, I remember there was a certain time we needed cash at home, and everywhere was a bit tight, and I saw money with my husband. So I came to him, I said, I needed money, and my husband said, the money is not for use. And I asked him, I said, so if the money is not for use, who is the money for? He said that the money is for somebody else, and it caused a crisis in my head. And I came to church that Sunday. The pastor was now preaching about, there are some times mama will ask money from him and he knows the money is not for mama. I'm like, my husband said, my wife, there is something they call brotherhood. Brotherhood comes before anybody, even you. I should be able to meet the need of my brother and God will meet our need. So when I came to church and pastor was making reference to that, I just, in Yoruba, they'll say, I just bakamu. Because Reverend Busi said something, he said, one of the things you know that you are lawless is selfishness, which is iniquity. I saw that I was selfish. This is money. It should be used now, 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 now. But my husband was able to come to that point where he was able to discern that the money is not for now, 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 now. And that is why at this time we should pray for the spirit of revelation. That song we usually sing that, Oju, Ojunla, give us your everlasting eyes. It's the everlasting eyes of God that we're able to see that, okay, let me give out this thing and let me allow God to supply my need. Yes, God knows that you have that need. You need it. But what God is interested in is brotherhood. Brotherhood, they say, is greater than even your own need. And that is what I've learned, that the Lord is going to help us at this time. Because one of the things the devil wants to do is to rid off of strength and give us his own strength. And one of his strength is selfishness. One of his strength is ability to not care about others. But the Lord wants to bring us to that point whereby we have his own strength, whereby we care for others, we are kind, we are loving, and we can go the extra mile for others. You can see it as foolishness, but that is the wisdom of God to save us to the uttermost. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Mommy. And thank you so much, Mommy, for opening up and sharing that with us. And how the Lord dealt with you on that. And we trust, Lord, that we would all draw a line and find interpretation from these reviews in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so the last person will be coming up. By God's grace, let's welcome the ministry of Pastor Dayo Olauni as he comes to tell us, you know, his experience. Thank you, sir.
Wow. Amen. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. I'll just go into the assignments. Okay, still on Reverend Busuyi's message. One of the things I could just summarize it is spiritual warfare. And is laws versus lawlessness. You either choose to stay under law or you enter lawlessness. And I think the scripture that came was 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. It said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He spoke about sin, transgression, and iniquity. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Now let's look at it in Amplified. It said, for the mystery of lawlessness, rebellion against divine authority, and the coming reign of lawlessness is already at work, but it is restrained only until he who now restrains it is taken out of the way. And one of the major take home for me in that message is that if I'm not seeing laws, most likely I'm in a lawless position. Well, the burden the Lord raised in my heart is the little home where I'm head over. And I said, okay, so what are the laws we are keeping in this home? And what are the laws I'm keeping? Do we even have laws? Are our laws just limited to, okay, you wake up in the morning, today is your kitchen day, you cook your own food. Yes, those ones are good. But the guy they are talking about here, he said, there is a man that they want to reveal. And Reverend was saying that there is a limit to which God can hold back a lot of things. But we must be raised. We must raise into being raised so that when they reveal him, you know, he was talking about so much of deception here and there. You must be solid enough to face that thing that is coming. And I was like, these patterns that we have put in place in the home, is this all that there is to it? Are there still other things that we need to start seeing? Are there laws that we need to see in this home? And you know, the next thing that Satan wants to put to you is that, okay, maybe everything is 5:30 a.m. in the morning. You know, we've been doing 6 o'clock before. Let's move it to 5:30. Everybody, be on your feet. Let us pray. But he's waiting for you there. Because that moment, you are 5:30 and somebody is sleeping. Wake her up. You know, do everything. You don't even care. Whether she's not feeling fine, whether she's okay, you just want to obey the law. And we've seen some of those things happen in the church world. That's why he said that it's not just about your church doctrine. It's about wisdom. He said that there is a wisdom that they did not know, for which they went to crucify the Lord Jesus. And that's the peak of their planning. The peak of Satan's planning could not see that, don't kill this guy. So there was a wisdom that was made known, that was filled with laws that he could not go against. So there is something that can beat him. There are laws that we would do that can beat him. And, you know, I saw the power of lawlessness somewhere there. You know, now I was at Lutz. And, you know, I was talking with one of the doctors. And he said that, you know, some of these things that most people come to over here to fight against. And they are saying, you know, I'm struggling with this particular, you know, work of the flesh. You know, most of them started with one little disobedience. And the person continued in disobedience, continued, and he used that disobedience to a point that he is bounded by the laws of disobedience. And they said that most of them, what they just need to do is just some little obediences. Just continue doing it consistently, and you will see that some of those things will break. And another thing I saw, 2 Thessalonians, he said that only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So it sounded to me like all you need to do for this mystery of iniquity to catch up with you is that you should not do anything. Just sit down and be looking that, okay, we'll go there all right. It's just a matter of time. The picture that came was that story of a frog that was inside the water. They kept on eating up the water. It was feeling cool, until they boiled and they cooked the frog. And he didn't fly out when he needed. And you know, Reverend gave a little illustration. You know, we are using things and you say you are jogging. You are, and something happened to me, maybe my only two experience. And recently I just went to the pharmacy to get something and I checked the weight. I said, I've added 4 kg. Just like that. And I said, this thing, we must burn it too. And you know, I started my jogging back. And you know, on one of the Saturdays, I went to jogging and I saw them playing. But I said, it's been a while though. Let me just quickly play ball. As I just started, you know, I ran. Bah. You know, Bola is in town now, you know. And after I ran 2, 3, I was just gasping. You know, it's easy to gain weight. Just don't do anything. But when it's time to lose it, hey. So it's beautiful when we obey laws. It's beautiful when we know laws. It's beautiful when we learn laws. Because you don't want to be on the other side. You don't want to be captured. So, you know, a lot of, you know, thoughts just came to my heart. And I just saw that these are times where, you know, as little as love is, just keep doing love in the home. You don't know what you are breaking. You don't know what you are untying. You know, God help us in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father Lord, we just thank you for mercy tonight again. Thank you for what you have prepared for us. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither ear entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for us. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We thank you, our Father. We honor you, Jesus. Tonight, I come again to submit under you, the head of the church. I ask that you will cause great light to visit us again. Trust you for angelic activities over us. The angel will minister to us the things of your life. In the name of Jesus. Understanding be fruitful, Lord. We establish our heart in light. Establish our heart with grace. Bring us to a place of truth. And let us attain the place of life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for great grace. Thank God you will help us and succor us tonight. Glory to your name, O God. In Jesus' name, we are prayed. Let me start with Psalm 22. From verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. So take note of that word, my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, will I praise thee. So you can see there is the congregation. There is my brethren. These are the two company of people here. We find this in Hebrew 2. So what you call the congregation there is the church. But there is my brethren. My brethren are members from the congregation. My brethren, we are taken out of the congregation. Or if you are using Hebrew 2, my brethren, we are taken out of the church. So the church produced my brethren. So, to be my brethren is higher. The brethren are members of the church, but they are higher in the makeup on their inside. The word church is coined from the word ecclesia, to call out, to be the called, or those who have responded to the call. Or ecclesia should be those who supposed to have responded to the call. You believe that if you say you are a church, your soul must have responded to the call. That's what is expected. In early church, Acts of Apostles chapter 2 said, and God added daily to the church. Daily, such as should be saved. So, you show that later in that same Acts chapter 2, 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So, what made up the church are souls. And you must know that the church is supposed to hold the seed. The part of being that's supposed to carry the seed is the soul. And the seed is the bearer of God's hidden secret mystery is in the seed. Jesus was talking about the great seed of a corn. And he said, in that great seed of the corn is everything. That when the seed starts breaking forth, you are going to first assess the blade. And from the blade, you assess the air. And from that blade, you have access to the full corn. The seed is the carrier. And when the seed fully comes into the fullness, supposed to be able to bring into full witness of what the sower has in mind. You cannot know the intent of the sower or what the sower has put in it. And what God's idea, God's initiative, God's plan, God's purpose are all encoded in the seed. So, my brethren is a manifestation of a fruit or a springing forth out of the congregation or out of the church. Because God's intention is that he should raise witness out of the church. But the name of witness that comes out of the church are called my brethren. My brethren are what? Are witness out of the church. Because the church is those who are responding to the calling. The calling in the church is that everybody should become the brethren or the brethren of Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be the brethren of Jesus Christ? Mean that a people that fully look like Jesus. Because when you say you are brethren, the word brethren mean you are brothers. Or the word brethren mean brotherhood. It's a brotherhood. That means the same people that carry the same gene. They carry the same DNA and the same genetics. That's what the word brethren mean. That means the souls that are exactly bearing the same express image of the Father and the brightness of his glory. And you have to know that in the world of brethren, is brethren different from brethren? When you check book of Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 22, you see something that a state that they must attain into is brethren. They are brethren, the prophets. And there is brethren, the prophets. And there are also the servants, thy fellow servant, and there are thy brethren. So, Revelation 19, Jesus has those who are his fellow servants. And he has men that are the brethren. Because this angel was telling John that, like thy fellow servant and thy brethren. But we know that he's an angel. John is a man. But in the angelic order, they had a type that John was a reality. The angel was a type, a shadow, a copy, that John was the original. Essence of Hebrew chapter 1 and Hebrew chapter 2, up to Hebrew 7, Hebrew 8, Hebrew 9, Hebrew 10, they were comparing the ministry or the attainment of the Son of God with attainment of the highest sons in creations who are angels. There are sons of creation, the highest sons of creation, which are called angels. And they were complaining Jesus. When they are complaining, Jesus said, they make him much more better than the angel. And why he became better than the angel, he became by inheritance. So Jesus is a type of sons. They call them sons of the mornings. They are also another type of sons. Jesus is a son or a witness. Jesus is a witness of the invisible God. Jesus is the witness of the invisible God. And he is the faithful and the true witness of the invisible God. But angels, they are not a witness of God. Because to be a witness is to represent. Is to fully represent. Is to represent. That means you can present him instead of God. So Jesus is not a representative of God. Jesus is represent. That means God can present Jesus on his instant. Because he is the brightness of God's glory and is the express image or the express presentation of God. That means every invisible things of God are fully substantiated and have their tangibility in the Son Jesus Christ. So they are invisible in God, but they find their tangibility in the Son and their tangibility. So they compare Jesus to angels. But Jesus, he surpassed them, not by quantity. He surpasses them by quality and by the things he has. What God has inside himself, he call it excellent and more excellent. Those are the things that they used to make up Jesus to be a representative of he that is invisible God. So these invisible things of God are given in seed form. Because every invisible things of God are in the seed. But just like when you take a seed of mango, everything about the mango and every fruit in the lifetime of that mango tree, if the lifetime of that mango tree, maybe you're supposed to harvest 300,000 fruits of mango. It's in that seed of mango, that one seed of mango. But you cannot see the 300,000 fruits that you are going to have to eat throughout the lifespan of that tree. So everything about God is in the seed. So the gift of incorruptible seed is the inherent trait. Every inherent person of God, every inherent laws of God, every inherent gene of God, every inherent DNA of God, materials of God, is in the seed of God. But you will need to allow passage of times for you to see the seed coming into its full manifestation. So the promise of God to Adam, because Adam corrupted his own seed, because the seed that was in Adam was corruptible. It's not an incorruptible seed. Not that it's corruption. It's corruptible. It can be corruptible, because corruptible shall put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass. Because corruptible is the way the thing is designed, the way the thing is fashioned. That's why it's corruptible. When you look at it now, it is good, but it's corruptible. You can corrupt that good thing. So it is the seed of God, which is incorruptible, was the promise of God, a big amen. So man that fell, because if we take a man that carry incorruptible seed into his full manifestation for him to be a full witness of God. Yeah. Jesus, a full witness of God, is a witness that is true. So a full witness of God is a witness of what? That is true. But before a witness can be true, there are lower witnesses. But the full witness of God is that which is true. To attain true. That's the full witness of God. But before you can attain to be true, there are good witness. There's a good witness. A good witness is what faith produces. And there's also a more good witness, which is also a witness of everlasting life. Like Jesus was a good witness that witnessed to Pontius Pilate, he witnessed into the place of truth, the truth of God. So there is a good witness. So you can be a good witness by faith. Fight the good fight of faith. The faith life will make you to be a good witness. Or when you follow true faith conversation, we produce a good witness. And that good witness, a good witness of a life. A godly soul is a good witness. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, comma, but that's not only thing. So what you are called is eternal life. And are professed a good profession. So as at this time around, Timothy has attained a good profession. But he has not attained to the profession of eternal life. Timothy has attained a good profession. A good profession that Timothy has attained is a profession of godliness. A good profession is a godly soul. And a good profession is a good fight of faith. Because you cannot separate godliness from the holding of the mystery of faith. The mystery of faith, the secret of faith, supposed to make you to attain a good profession. A good profession is having a good conscience. That when you hold the mystery of faith, you should attain a good conscience. What's a good conscience? A good conscience where the soul, by the reason of understanding, by the reason of spiritual understanding and reason of spiritual obediences, obedience and obeying understanding and the wisdom called Christ, that soul has attained a place of good judgments. Good conscience is good judgments. Good conscience is good judgment. How you know that a conscience is good is that the judgment, evaluation, divination, conclusion, and understanding of a man have become good. Evaluation, divination, conclusion, parameters, view of a man has become good according to how the law sees good. And that cannot be possible without holding the mystery of faith. With good conscience. You don't have good conscience when they gave you mystery of faith. It is in obeying and responding to the tenet of faith. What I call tenet of faith are commandments of faith. So, tenet of faith, a commandment of faith. Say that, church. Responding to commandment of faith again and again and again. And what is commandment of faith? Standard that God is raising. Standard that God raised for you. Standard that God raised for you in your relationships. Standard that God raised for you in the way you think. Standard that God raised for you in your interactions. Standard that God raised or demand that God raises things that Holy Ghost is breathing upon, that Holy Ghost is making impression upon, what Holy Ghost is giving inspiration upon in how you should order your life. Which oftentimes is not accepted by many. And it's not accepted into the worldly standard and the worldly dictate and what the world has highly exalted. Those things, when the heart is doing it to the heart, it looks foolish. But those are the things that they use to make your conscience good. And until conscience is good, a man have not become a good witness. Because to be a good witness is to be a godly man. Like Paul was teaching about who a godly man is. He said, a godly man is a soul that is contented. Not contented with what the world gives to the soul, because it's possible for the world to give something to the soul and the soul is contented. Because the world can make a soul contented. Because a man have used that soul with worldly lusts. He has exercised the soul in worldly wisdom. He has exercised the soul with worldly ways, worldly standard. And those worldly standards, they call it the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And when you hear lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, it's beyond wisdom of living. Lust are wisdom of living. They are wisdom of finding expression to the life that flesh. Because when you say lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, they are wisdom that the flesh has propagated, which is opposite what spirits or what spiritual life is. So a spiritual life. And a fleshly life, not natural. Or another carnal life. When you hear the word lust, lust are desires. Lust are will, W-I-L-L. Lust are affection. Lust are what? Commitment of hearts. Lust are what the heart is loyal to. Lust is the life expression that flesh and sin has designed that man should run. So lust is a way of life. Then you have lust of the flesh. So lust of the flesh is a way of life of the flesh. Lust of the eye is a way of life. It's a manner of living. Lust of the flesh is not fornication. Lust of the flesh is not adultery. Lust of the eyes is not trying to build a house. It's a way of life. A man can live all the rest of his life to the lust of the flesh. A man can move from the lust of the flesh and give up his life to live to the lust of the eye. And a man can move from the lust of the eye and live what, by pride of life. They are all flesh, but they are a different strata, just as we have faith, hope, and charity, which are all life expression of godliness. Ungodliness is also calibrated. Just as hope is a sight that many do not see. For why do you say hope? For when it is seen. So lust of the eyes is higher than lust of the flesh. In a man that is living in the flesh, or a man that is carnal. When a man has lust of the flesh, that means a man has seen hope. That flesh, hope that this world can deliver to a soul. When a man has lust of the eye, what are that flesh? Men that are living in the flesh are not seeing. That soul is seeing it. Because that soul, by the reason of interaction with this world, this of interaction with sin and death, something has happened to the soul. Like 1 John 1 said, that which was in the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen, and which you have handled, and to hear is faith. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. To see is to have attained to hope. And to undo is that life has become a pride of life. I mean, you have used flesh until flesh is not a life. You have used this world until the world is not a life in you. A man may have the program of the world in him, but that program of the world is just a loss of the flesh. That means this world also has its bread. And this world also has its water that he offers you. So when you have lust of the flesh, lust of the flesh means the bread, corrupted bread of this world. And what does the bread supposed to do? That bread supposed to form a body on your inside. So lust of the flesh is the bread of this world. Lust of the flesh is what the eye supposed to eat, partake of, and be strengthened to be able to take the voyage and the journey of looking for this war. Just like bread strengthen the heart. So lust of the flesh is the bread. That what you feed a carnal soul is the bread of this war. Is the flesh. That this world has flesh to give. This world has a body. He has what he wants to give to the soul. Because without the lust of the flesh, it's not possible for the heart and the soul to become worldly. So the first learning of this world, when spirits are training soul to be worldly, the first thing that the soul make available to every soul is to partake of the flesh. To partake of the flesh. And lust of the flesh is a way of life. It's a way of thinking. Lust of the flesh is a way of thinking. It's a way of seeing. Which the soul must eat into. In the lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh is to give the soul flesh. It's the world giving his flesh to the soul. Because without lust of the flesh, it will not be possible to dull the heart. So, one thing that Satan uses to dull your heart, what Satan used to dull our heart is the lust of the flesh to dull the mind. So that the mind will not be spiritual. To dull the heart and make the heart gradually progressive in making the heart ignorant. The first thing that Satan does to every man is that Satan make every man, first of all, ignorant. In the fall, man did not journey to walk of the flesh. It was the thing that man journey last in this war into. If a man journey to the lust of the flesh, later in Genesis, it's after Genesis 6. Because pride of life is higher than lust of the flesh. Because men, we are not ignorant. Men, we are not dull. It took time, even when Cain have left the presence of God, what Cain was expressing was not lust of the flesh. What Cain was using, he was using something that was higher than pride of life. It was not even pride of life that he was using. Cain was a user of the world. Because they call him that he is of the wicked one. He's of the evil one. So, in ascending order of the world, the bottom is lust of the flesh. Then, you move into lust of the eyes and pride of life and the war. Because all these things are in the war. They are in the war. They are offspring of the war. They are the children of the war. But Cain was a user of this war because of his height of his soul. Because of how much of God's things he has in his soul. And that he turned. It's like Lucifer that turned. Lucifer was a cherubim that turned. And his turning is not the same thing with a seraph that turned. So Cain that turned was of the wicked one. Or of the evil one. Or he was an angler of a mystery or iniquity. What he did was iniquity. Just like Satan did iniquity in the heavenlies. Cain did iniquity over living soul. So living soul produced iniquity. Where Lucifer, who was also a very high angel, also committed iniquity. But iniquity are different strengths. Because it's iniquity unto iniquity. Iniquity unto iniquity. So iniquity have graduation. So Cain had more than pride of life. What Cain had was what Satan came to tempt Jesus with. He showed Jesus the power and the kingdom of the world and the glory of them. The kingdoms of the world, yeah, are not nations of the earth. There are kingdoms of the world. If you want to understand the kingdom of the world, yeah, look at God. In Psalm 103, the Lord has prepared his kingdom in the heavens. And his kingdom ruled over all. So the kingdoms of the world is not nations of the earth. Just as the kingdom of God was not over physical nation. The Lord has placed his kingdom in the heaven and his kingdom ruled over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angel, that exalt his strength, that do his what? His commandment. According to the word of his mouth, bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye means of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, all my soul. So, the kingdom of the world are kedah or souls. Souls of fallen seraphs. Souls of fallen principalities. Souls of fallen powers. Souls of fallen rulers, might, thrones, and dominion. And souls of men. That what the devil showed Jesus. What is shown the kingdom of this world. How I've able to calibrate my kingdom. I've calibrated the kingdom of the world. God put a word. And it's an orderly arrangement of how souls should be fashioned. And how souls has been designed and souls have been formulated with things that soul, what nature built and frame of souls. Since man died and sin entered the world and corrupted the world and brought forth a new world over earth, moving to the air. The prince of the power of the air, which is also the God and the prince of this world, he also arranged every seraph that fell with Satan. They are not the same. They are not even the same of what they are yesterday. I would say, for the wicked shall get worse and worse. Just as the path of the righteous is a shining like shine brighter and brighter, the wicked shall become worse and worse. The evil men and seducers. Seducers there are also seducing spirits. All fallen spirits are seducers. Paul said it to Timothy. The doctrine of devil and seducing spirit. They are all seducers. So, evil men and seducers shall worse, worse, and worse. And when you hear worse, it's a piece that call it worse. What Bible calls worse, they are good and evil. They have their good. So you must have understanding and light. For example, when you look at civilization upon the earth, they look as if they are becoming good. Exactly, when you think about the latest invention of AI and what you can do with little time, some presentations on design, when you look at it, you say that, wow, the civilization of the earth is becoming better. But to God, it's worse and worse. Things are growing worse. Because that thing that Cain has succeeded to do is that he has taken away the strength of patience. Because lawlessness are becoming. Because patience is a law in the spirit. It's a virtue. Though he has come, but there are something that the enemy has come to steal. He has come to take something away. The introduction of AI have come to steal something away. That's why those tools may be available, but you must be wise that you do things in the way it should be done because they are good for your soul. What formally? You want to find an answer that formally you need to look, you need to go and look for encyclopedia. Or you type it on Google. And when you type it on Google, and Google will present unto you, you can present to the first page. You have like the first 10 link that you can open to read. And each of the page, you may need to read 20 page. But now you put it, and it will give you summary of what you could have done. By the time you read from it, you need to and mark it. Then you go to the two plan. But you will not know that thing. There is a strength. When sometimes your body is tired when you are reading the 10 page. Your mind sometimes can become oversaturated. But you know that I must read all this material and extract what is good for me that I want to use. That there's that time factor which is also essence of your patience. In that place, there is a place of enduring. Though your brain, you download and read. But AI has stolen those endurance, long suffering, bringing your body under things that you don't before. That provision has taken it away. Reverend Busi was using that thing that say technology. What technology do? Washing machine. Dishwasher, air fryer. But unknown to us, you feel that life is made easy to you, but something is being taken. A thief has come to steal from us. So he's stealing away the leftover. You can now see what the seven churches were fighting against. When we hear something doctrine of Nicolaita, sometimes some of the doctrine are not, they are not that they sat down teaching them. They are a way of life, a culture, a civilization that is so we are subscribing to. But they were doctrines. When you hear what the evil man and seducer shall worse or grow worse and worse, it's not that people are only killing themselves. But also that that will seem a good to man, but the end of it is still destruction that is going on. There are loss. So there's a loss of the eye. So the kingdom of this world, what Satan used over, what Satan used on Jesus was not loss of the eyes, loss of the flesh, and pride of life. What Satan brought to Jesus was this war. And the war is the kingdom. And what the glory of the kingdoms of this world, yes, and the glory of them. Yes, so this was what Cain started with. But you cannot move on to that except your soul have risen. So I say, man did not start with lust of the flesh. When man started using lust of the flesh, is when God said, for you have not become flesh. What man for use was man was blood. They referred to blood as red earth. Adam was red earth. Red earth is higher than flesh. Red earth. Red earth means in the grading, because in the grading of things is flesh and blood. Blood is higher than flesh. If the life of the flesh is blood. That means flesh can exist, but to really give flesh that is the life of the. So what Cain used was more of corrupted blood. Because blood is life. Blood has his own interpretation of life. So man did not move into lust. So Cain did not move into the world of lust. Cain operated in the world of blood. And you know, the world of blood is the world of kingdom. It's the world of power. It's the world of honor. It's the world of glory. Those are things that are contained in the blood. Because things of the blood are things of testimony. Things of the blood are things of testimony. There are things of life. But man journeyed from red earth. Even though Cain fell, was still red earth. To be red means he has life. Though he turned away, the life that is still carried was an inverted life, like Lucifer turned life. But the thing kept on depreciating in strength until man became flesh. And God said, my spirit shall no longer strive with him. He journeyed from blood to flesh. Just as we're supposed to journey, we journey from flesh to blood. Or we journey from word to spirits. We journey from word to blood to spirits. In the world is flesh and water. Which 1 John 5 was talking about. There are three that bear witness. Not water only. But water and the blood. And you can't start with water. You start with the flesh and water. So flesh and water or bread and water are called the word. Those are the contents of the word. When you open the word, you find bread and water or flesh and water. Or you find seed and rain. Isaiah 55. Is seed and rain. That is the word. Because he called both seed and rain as word. For as the rain cometh down from heaven, and snow from the earth, and return not, but water the earth, and make it bud forth, and bud, that he may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be. So what is word here? What is rain? What is seed? And what is bread? So when they say there are three that bear record, the water. Because the water is the end of the journey. The water is the end of the war season. When you are handling the world, the water is the end. So likewise, this world also has its flesh, lust of the flesh. And this world has lust of the eye. A man moving to loss of the eye, when a man begins to see hopes in this world, one of the flesh wants to make you dull. That's what the Lord of the flesh does, is to make the soul dull. That's why loss of the flesh and loss of the flesh, which they are close to each other, is a migration. Because all the works of the flesh are full stood of loss of the flesh. Loss of the flesh is higher than works of the flesh. But they are full stood. They are the fruit. But there's a region of loss of the flesh. Or there's an upper region of loss of the flesh. And there is fifth region. So the fifth region of the loss of the flesh is what they call works of the flesh. So that's why the man can stop works of the flesh, but that doesn't mean that he has a virtual loss of the flesh. What you are supposed to do is that you have only taken away the feats of the lust of the flesh. So a man may stop works of the flesh, but he's still blinded. He's still ignorant. His eyes of understanding has not been enlightened. That's why Paul could write to Ephesians church in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the law that you should no longer walk as the Gentile walk, where vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God to the ignorance in them because of the blindness of their heart. So what he was talking about here, he made mention of three things. He called it vanity of the mind. He called it darkened understanding. And they call it ignorance and the blindness of the heart. So a mind is dull. Because when you use word of the flesh, when you lose lust of the flesh into words of the flesh, I said, look, what I say, words of the flesh is what is the foot or the lower region of the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh, ass. But majorly, words of the flesh is what make a soul dull. That's what lust of the flesh does to the soul. It dulls the soul. And I said that is how Satan starts with every soul. Paul say we are all led by a word, dumb idol. And from dullness, if a man can push back, because a man can use through the strength of the soul and push back into the world, Satan can make that soul to attain to the lust of the eyes. In Ephesians 2 from verse 2, and you compare this thing with Ephesians 4. Do not walk like Gentile walk in the vanity of the mind. Ephesians 2. Well, in time past, you walk according to the course of this war. The cause of this one means when you want to start learning this word, the cause. C-O-U-R-S, the cause, the learning of the war. How Satan caused men to learn the word that you must be dull. Dull to what? Dull to everything called God. Man was not created dull. Cain was not dull. That's why Cain can have consequences. Cain will never repent because he was not dull. If the soul is dull, the soul will repent. Cain knew what he was doing. Cain, our fellow with the world. So, you see, it's good for a soul to be dull, and it's a sign that soul can be enlightened. But Cain was not dull. Daughters of men, that's what is not sons of God, they were not dull daughters. They were fair. They are bright. They were not dull. So you can see, someone said, do not walk like the Gentile walk in the vanity of the mind. So in the course of the war, every soul, start with what? The course of the lust of the flesh. And I say, what is it that's meant to make you dull? So that it's not easy for you to connect to spirits. To make you dull where you lean more on externality. To take life is outside you. No, that's dullness. To make sure life, you see life outside you. Which is completely a lie. When God made man, God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Life's supposed to be inside. Life's supposed to be live inside. Life's not supposed to be live outside. So dullness will make you to live, to think that life is outside. To find meaning of life is outside. Then a man can move from that course in the land of the world and move into loss of the eye. When you move into loss of the eye, you have moved into in opposite of hope. What hope is in Christ is what loss of the eye is in the world. And what does hope in Christ do? Not to make you to be ashamed. Loss of the eye is to make sure that you will start running from shame. Think that the soul starts venturing into so that the soul feel that it will not come to some shame. What this world has defined as shame. When you are dull, is to see that life is not living from the inside. Because what it does, that he alienated you from the life of God. And we know if it's life of God, he must live from the inside. So he separates you and think that life is external. Life is outside. That is dullness. The dullness of heart. Dullness of the mind. To start finding meaning of life as outside. Life is outside. Life is not what I have on the inside. Life is not what I should labor to generate on the inside. He can organize it in different things. He can organize dullness in religion. He can even do it where you think that life is activity that I do outside. How much prayer can I pray on the mountain and shout? But that same man that is praying is not communing. He's not searching deep on the inside. It's not fellowship on the inside. What is consuming self is what? Is life outside. Because life is now outside. Not a reality from within. Yeah. So he will keep dunning somebody, some people's life may be religion. To dunning. Sometimes it's in civilization. Sometimes it's in what? It's in education. Sometimes it's in relationship. But you find life, you find fulfillment. When somebody says it's to move a man consciousness to make him separate life from God. Then man can graduate the learning and move into life as lost of the eyes. Where there are some things that you start becoming ashamed of. You are ashamed that you are not measuring to attainment that this world has set. And Satan put shame at different strata of this world. When the soul is not attaining into a particular standard, status of life, it becomes a shameful thing. That's why the way they measure accountability in the spirit is not physical age. People thought that every child at the age of 12 is already being held accountable. You can be 12 and it's not moving to accountability. So long as this war, shame, is not yet meaning to him. It means that he does not yet have lust of the eyes to see hopes, expectations, and hopes are in different stratas. Because here, a man can be dull and he does not know shame that this world to offer. But when a man has learned of the cause of this war, the vacancy of the lust of the eye, that soul will start having shame. He will start having shame for what he cannot attain. And that reason, that man is higher than the man that is dull. First thing is that he's not of the flesh that make him dull. But now, that soul has graduated where there are things that soul wants to attain because he's seen, he's hope. Others have not seen it. Some people in BL have not seen it. Just like some of our children, you can see that they can be running together when they finish service. You see that the way they run. But sometimes a time it comes that you can see a girl out of all of them, he stop running with them. Where the guys are still running and climbing things, eyes is being given to her. Just as it's natural, so is the soul. Attainment of lust of the eyes is an age in this world. That soul have age in the world. Yes, age. Because you gather age by learning and by exercise and practice, like Hebrews 6 said. From me belongeth to them that are of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. When a man, a soul, can exercise himself in the learning of the lust of the eye, that soul will gain senses. And how you know that you have lust of the eyes in you is, are you ashamed of what anybody has attained and you have not attained? And that attainment is not attainment in Christ. That attainment is the attainment of this world. That attainment is the attainment of flesh. That attainment is the attainment of the flesh and blood. It's not an attainment that is in Christ. You have stopped seeing the things that pass away and you are beginning to see things that are unseen. Which is faith is. Faith is total and things offer the evidence of things not seen. We are not ashamed that when we are describing realities and things of righteousness, things of a godly man, you are not ashamed that you are not attending to it. But you are ashamed that I am 32 and I'm not married. When they do your old student association of all your secondary school, and everybody is saying what they have come into, everybody is flaunting what they have just done, what they have just married, their engagement ring, they are pointing it as their point engagement, they are pointing where they went to go and spend their holiday. You have started working on the past 12 years, you have never traveled to common Ghana, let alone Dubai. There are things that cause shame to the soul that the world see that. They are the sign. Those things, when you get lost of the eyes, lost of the eyes is not that you see a back of a woman. Those are lost of the flesh. They are not lost of the eyes. Lost of the eyes, they are wisdom of this world. 1 Corinthians 2. from 5. How be we speak wisdom among them that are perfect? Yeah, not the wisdom of this world. When a soul start having lust for the eye, is they already giving you wisdom of this world. Wisdom of this world. Then a man have attained pride of life when what has been shame to him is so now laid on it. What used to be a shame when he attained it, it's not a life for him. It's a pride of life. It was a lot of the eye. It was like more of a vision. It was more of a dream that he wants to be. It was one of attainment I want to be. But when you move him as a pride of life, is that soul as able to translate what to make him shame, he has not attained to it. He attained through it, through the wisdom of this world. We recall he has attained to a dream life. Through striving against obedience of faith. He strives against obediences. He strives against the leading of the Spirit. He strives against everything that Satan put on his way to limit him. That's what they call it, fight the good fight of faith. Just like what God told them, for my spirit shall no longer strive with you. He's striving. Striving of ungodly men. What are they striving? They are striving to attain a loss of eyes. When you say, man, I have a pride of life. Not everybody has pride of life. But one thing that as we grow through the earth, as we journey under the cosmos that is governing the earth, we attain. We move. If they don't change the activity of the world that we are under. If you are not dwelling in the work of Christ. If we are not in the world of the Father, which is the world to come, whereof we speak, the souls we are cultured, you go under that course, under that learning. And when you are learning, you are being fashioned, or you are being conformed. So the soul will not be able to attain good. Just like what you said. I'll be not be conformed to this world, but you'll be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may put that which is good. Good is a godly man. There's a good witness. Jesus witnessed a good witness. A good witness. But that good witness is not just witness as a godly soul, but a witness of an everlasting entity. But before he can witness as a good person, there's a good which is godliness, which is a good of faith. When you read book of Psalm, for the Lord is good and his mercy is there forever. That good is the good of the Lord, or good of the Father and the Son. But it's a good of godliness. And the good of godliness is faith from the faith life. The faith life. God wants to raise good witnesses. Good witnesses. Witnesses of attaining good conscience. Which I call what? I call it good judgments. When you read the book of Psalm, you talk about good judgment. For good judgment are they. Someone want to tell you what they call good judgments. For you are called to attain to good judgment. Psalm 119. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I believe thy commandments. I said something. I said, he takes the commandment of faith to attain good judgments. And good judgment is a good conscience. Because conscience is an instrument of judgment. And good judgment is a product of revelation of the truth of Christ. When you say a soul has attained good judgment, a soul has been a good witness, one thing you find about that soul has attained what they call pureness of heart. It takes a man with pureness of heart that they will give the seed of God to. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. Fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he had not despised, nor abhorred the afflicted or the afflicted. Not that he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My prayer shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vow before thee that fear thee. The meat shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kingdoms of the nations shall worship before God. For the kingdom is the Lord, and he is the governor among nations. All they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. They that go down to the door shall bow down before him. None shall keep alive his own soul. A sea shall serve him, and shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he have done this. God's intention is that we should be a good witness. That is the least witness that God wants to raise. God wants to raise good witness. Witnesses that faith raised. Proverbs 22 from verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. 11, 12. He that loves pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge and he overthrew the world of transgressor. 30:14. The slothful man said, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the street. The mouth of the strange woman is a deep pit. He that abhorreth the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is abiding the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it out far from him. He that oppress the poor to increase the riches, he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to naught. Bow down thy ear and hear the word of the wise, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge. For it's a pleasant thing that keep them within thee, they shall wither be fitted in thy lead. That thy trust may be in the law, are made it known to thee this day. Have I not written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I may make thee know the certainty. After he's talking about a good man, and that the payment of a good man is that he has treasure, he has riches. A good name is better than great riches and great treasure. Then, in verse 11, he described that good man is a man that's attained the pureness of heart for the grace of his lips. For out of the abundance of the heart is grace of his lips. The king, not kings, is the Lord. The king shall be his friend. Like Abraham became the friend of God. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthrew the word of the transgressor, that I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. Word of truth. Or what the word of his grace, or what the word of Christ want to do to you is to make you to attain pureness of heart, which cause that you are good. You will not be a good witness until you have attained pureness of heart, which is the certainty that the word of truth should achieve in you. The certainty of the word of truth and the answer of the word of truth. Word of truth, which is also called the word of his grace in Acts chapter 20, 32. Long time therefore about days, speaking boldly in the law, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. So we have to move from the word to the blood. Because realm of witnesses is realm of the word, which is realm of what? Bread and water. Witness, which is bread and water, then blood and spirit. And when you move into blood, you talk about testimony. Yeah, they said they gave testimony to the word of his grace. It is unto the word of his grace before they give testimony to the word of his grace. Who give testimony to the word of his grace? I mean, it's after you have gone through bread and water that you move into blood. There's New Testament in my blood. Testimony is in the blood. It's a blood provision. You must use this of the word where. And this of the word where is to attend to pureness of heart. That is certainty of the word of truth. The certainty of the word of truth that your heart should attain pureness of heart. Is the certainty of the word of truth. But it's not only the certainty of the word of truth. Look at it. That I may make thee know the certainty of the word of truth, that thou mayest answer the word of truth to them that sent unto thee. That they may answer. You will not only know the certainty of the word of truth, but you can answer. Peter was talking about this thing. That when they asked you, and it's the answer of the hope that is in you, is of a good conscience. 1 Peter 3. The life figure where not unto baptism does now save us, not the putting away of the feet of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by resurrection of Jesus Christ. What the word of truth should do for you, the answer is that you should first of all know the certainty. Or it should be a knowing. That knowing is not knowledge. A knowing of the certainty of the word of truth. And the word of truth, or word of his grace, or word of Christ. And what's supposed to do for me is to give me a meat or a table, a good name. What's a good name? A good name is pureness of heart. and a good conscience. Or did the mystery of faith with good conscience, which many are put away and they've shipwrecked the faith. The faith has a certainty you answer. There's a certainty, and that thing is that you should allow word of truth to work upon you until you have pureness of heart, until you become good. You want to be a good witness. A good witness, which is a good name. You have attained to a good name. A good name that is better than great riches is a good name. And the journey to a good name is that you should attain to pureness of heart through the word of truth. The word of truth brings you to the place of certainty and the place of answer that to them that send, because God wants you to be a witness. When they ask, what is in you? They ask of the reason of the hope that is in you. Why are you behaving like this? That's when you become a witness. The hope that is in you. And that first hope that is in you is Christ in you, the hope. Attaining Christ is the first realization that must be in you. Christ in you is the hope. Christ in you. They're asking you, this hope that is in you, which is Christ in you. And Christ in you is attaining pureness of heart and good conscience, which is the state of a godly man. It's a conversation of a godly man. Not the putting away of the feet of the flesh. The answer of the word of truth in you. The answer of the word of truth that are sent for you. The answer of the truth, that's the answer of the hope that is in you. You have attained a hope. It's no longer a hope inside of you. It's a reality. It's a certainty that I've established inside of you. It's as a sister that you're a God. You have a good name. You have attained a good name. These are things that God is interested in embracing, men that are good witnesses. Men that are godly. And how do you know it? They have attained pureness of heart. And have attained good conscience. Which is good judgment. They have good judgment. God wants us to move on good. I'm moving to a place where we are perfect. You can have perfect conscience. Start with good conscience. And attain to perfect conscience. Which are all degree of witnesses of God. First Peter. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks the reason of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. Having a good conscience. They are aware that they speak evil of you. As if they are. They may be ashamed firstly. Who accuse your good what? Conversation we have in Christ. What you have in Christ is a good conversation. It's a good name. The good. Men with good witnesses of God. Those are what heroes of faith were. They are good reports. Those men were witnesses in their generations. They are witnesses of the allocation of the coming of God that God committed to them. They attend that good witnesses. All Hebrew 11 faith. They are good reports, mean good witnesses. When they score them as good. When they see your good conversations. If any man will live a godly life in Christ, it's a godly life. So to live a godly life, I mean, if you're going to attend to a good man, that is in Christ. A good name, a good conversation. When you are like that, you should not be ashamed. Many of the world should be ashamed, but you should not be ashamed. Because you have attained to a hope that makes them not ashamed. Christ inside of you. And that Christ in you does not make ashamed. I say you not know shame. Amen. Do you know what to know shame? To know shame is not to be clothed with Christ. So no shame is not to be closer with a new man. When you are still carrying your old man, your carnal man everywhere, I pray you will not know shame. Amen. You will go through purifications. Amen. Peter described it. Peter chapter 1 said, see, you purify your soul in obeying the truth, the word of truth, certainty. You have purified your soul in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love another fervently with a pure heart. A good name is an attainment. Oh. Name is an attainment. Jesus Christ does not attain to good name. He attains to more excellent name. Yeah. There's a good name. There's a perfect name. And there's a more excellent name. A perfect name, which is a perfect conscience, is the name of the Son of God, Christ, the Father. But a more perfect, excellent name. Name is your nature. The nature you attain to. Name is your nature. It's an attainment. Name is a building. And name is a ceiling. It's both a stature and it's both a seal. May the Lord bless you. Yeah. Cause his face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. The certainty of the word of truth will be read to you. You attain a good name.
Amen.
I say the Lord will bless you.
Amen.
Show you greater mercy.
Amen.
And greater grace.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Find greater peace. Find greater joy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Honor the Son of God. In Jesus' name we are praying.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit.
bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.